Well, as a youth pastor, we did cake auctions in the past, but they're always a lot of fun. Man, it's just great. If you've got a chance to look at some of those cakes back there, and there's a lot of clever things and a lot of good tasty things. In Moldova, we would say "fukusna." That means it's tasty. So we got tasty tables back there and goodies for you to take home and help toward. Just remember that it is it's donation, it's contribution toward working with the children's clubs this summer, and a way for us to provide some things that are needed material wise for that. So it is for a good cause. It's not meaningless. It's not just having our ladies bake cakes and do those kind of goodies, but there's a reason, purpose behind what we're doing there. So, but it's fun, and we look forward to having fellowship next door for lunch for everyone and a time to get together and visit together. And also, we're just delighted this morning that we have some new members that we wanted to introduce. And so that'll take place at the end of our service. But if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 5, I want to look at just a few things here. In our passage, that we're in such a unique and beautiful place in Scripture for celebrating the Lord's Supper and being mindful of Christ as our high priest and actually the one who made sacrifice for our sins. So wanted to concentrate on our Scripture memory for this next month, which, you know, we'll spend some time with exegesis in regard to the exposition of the passage, verses 9 and 10 in particular, in the next week or so. But did want to have some meditations upon these verses. And so I'll read Hebrews 5, 9, and 10, and then talk just a moment about Christ as our source of eternal salvation. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so this morning we want to, as we come to the Lord's table, think about and have a little bit of time of meditation upon this high priest after the order of Melchizedek, our Lord Jesus Christ, who became through his obedience to the Father's will and purposes, and through those things which he suffered, he became the very cause or source or fountain of our salvation. And it's interesting here to kind of to look at, you know, what the Scripture means, what it's talking about as Christ, who is the source or the cause of our eternal salvation. And the word for this, the source, is actually, it's probably better translated cause, but cause doesn't exactly capture it either, because Christ is you might think of cause, the cause of anything that resides causative, or sometimes in some translations, the author of salvation, and that may bring up, you know, you might remember, okay, we heard that before, and in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, actually, we looked at another time when author or source of salvation was used, and if you just flip back a couple of pages there, in chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering." Okay, so in both of these contexts, in chapter 2 and chapter 5, it speaks of, and if you go back to verses 7 and 8, it says, in the days of the flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So if we look at and make a comparison of chapter 2 and chapter 5, in both cases, there is reference to this suffering that Christ endured in order to become the author or the cause or source of our salvation. And two different words are used there. The author in chapter 2 is a word which kind of means the prince or the leader. And so you get this picture of Christ being the first, the one who forges ahead. And the idea again there, if you remember in our studies back that long ago, the source or the author was the prince, and he was kind of the word picture there was in the Old Testament. You would have these patriarchs, family patriarchs, and all that followed after them in the tribe would be and what their notoriety, who they were, and the land and the kingdom and the things that they had sprang from this prince or this figurehead from which the family had grown up through. And in that same sense was the picture of Christ as being the author of our faith. But here it's a different word. And so cause is probably better. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source or the cause of eternal salvation. And if we were to look at and think of some of these things, this word aetios is sometimes it was used, like, for instance, Pilate used it when he said, I find no fault in this man. And the idea there, no cause, no criminal cause in what he was being condemned for there in the court, in Pilate's court. He says, I find no fault in the man or no cause for these problems. And so you kind of get this idea of a legal cause, but it's something more than a legal cause that we're talking about here with this word again. And if we were to imagine a court case where Satan is there as he was maybe in the throne room of God in heaven with the angels, and Job is kind of being challenged there, and let's pretend or think in terms of it being you, and in this court case, Satan, in his exploration of his condemnation of you, would say, how did this happen? This person belonged to me. And they would say, well, what is the cause of, let's discover in this legal case, the cause of why this person who was a citizen in the kingdom of darkness passed from death and into life and is now a citizen in the kingdom of light, in God's kingdom. And in this court case, as you explored the reasons why or the cause for this transfer, the cause would be the righteousness of Christ. Okay? It would be that not that anything on behalf of what that person did, but a redemption took place where that person was transferred out of death and into life. That person that heard the word and believed on him, who sent him, sent Christ, and he received eternal life, and there's no condemnation, but now he's passed out of death and into life, as the Scripture declares about you and me. It's what we celebrate this morning. There is a cause for the reason of that transfer of ownership, for the reason of that transfer from one kingdom in the other. And that source or cause would be Jesus Christ. I want to make a connection for you here in regard to this passage, okay? Notice that it says in verse 10, being designated by God, He's the source of your eternal salvation, being designated as God, by God, as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to study as we get into chapter 7, all the way into chapter 7, they're still going to be talking about Melchizedek. And we'll learn some things about him, and we'll take some time with that. But this idea of being after the order of Melchizedek is a fascinating thing. And Melchizedek is an interesting word as well. If you look at it and break it down, Melchizedek is Melech, that's king, okay? And Zedek, or Zadik, would be the Hebrew word for, does anyone know that? For righteousness, okay? So Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Okay, that's interesting because, you know, if we look at Jeremiah chapter 33, for instance, we find that, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David, that's the king, and the Davidic covenant and the dynasty of David, to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Yahweh, Zedekinu, okay? And that that new on the end means our, the Lord, our righteousness. So Jerusalem will be called by the source of their righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. Okay? Interesting again that here we have this association between Christ, who is the King of Kings, and He is also our High Priest who mediates and represents us before the Heavenly Father. So there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Christ came of the offspring of David to become king, but also to become priest. And not a priest after the Aaronic order, but after the order of Melchizedek. It's interesting that Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. It's interesting that Melchizedek, and as we look at these, at the order of priests back in that time, there's a number of different things that we'll talk about later, but he's a priest and a king of the Most High. In chapter 14 of Genesis, and it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. So in Genesis 14:18, we have this connection between Christ and between Melchizedek that he is both a priest and a king, that he was king of Salem. And Salem, does anyone know what Salem is? What is that?
Jerusalem,
that's right. That is correct. Okay, so there's a couple of interesting things about this priest. He was a king. He was a patriarchal priest, kind of like Job. You remember when we studied on Wednesday nights, and I think I mentioned it last week, that Job, when his sons and daughters, when they celebrated, it came about in the days that when the days of feasting, his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. So they would go to one another's houses and they would have these feasts and they'd celebrate and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continuously. The point that I want to make here is, Dad, when was the last time you made sacrifice a burnt offering for Lori's sins? Okay. The point here is that in this day and time, that there were patriarchal family priests. Okay, so there were these family priests, sources, and heads of family. They not only in that day, in Abraham's day, and in Job's day, and in Melchizedek's day, these families, as they were given in Genesis 9, the responsibility, the institution of human government, they represented the civil government as in a sense kings, priestly kings of their families. They offered sacrifices for their families, and they represented as the head of the family their families in that way. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, there's a connection here with Jesus. With Jesus, the fact that He is both King and Priest, that He is the source of our salvation. And in fact, you know, this idea in Jeremiah 33, 15, and 16, that the Lord is our righteousness, is all in the New Testament, isn't it? So when we start making these connections, we're saying, well, now Aaron, and the point that it's made up here earlier in chapter 5 was that these priests had to make, and part of their responsibility was they made sacrifices for themselves, for their own sins, and for the sins of others. But with Christ, it was different. Christ did not offer sacrifice for His sin. He did not need to, because He was perfected in His sufferings, tempted yet without sin. And there was no need for offering for His own sin. And He offered sacrifice for our sins. Okay? So He's a different order. Okay? Now, order is a word that means, and someone asked me, Maddie asked me what order meant last week. But it's kind of a military term, actually. And it has to do with rank and place and position. And the Aaronic order meant that Aaron and Aaron's sons only, those that came after the order of Aaron, okay, Aaron the fountainhead, Aaron the cause, Aaron appointed by God, and these after the order, you know, in sequential order, as those high priests followed after Aaron in those successive generations, that was the order of the Aaronic priesthood. And all in that order, these priests had to offer not only sacrifices for other sins in the nation, but for their own sins. But in the order of Melchizedek, Christ did not offer sacrifice for His own sins, but He offered sacrifice for your sin. And so, again, as a fountainhead, if we think about this, just think about the connections here. Because we go to John chapter 1. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And so John, in the Gospel of John, it speaks of Jesus as being the cause of your salvation, of being the source of your righteousness, of providing. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So, you see, Jesus is more than just a good example. Jesus is the very, very source of our eternal salvation. It's where life comes from. And I want to make the point to you this morning, the point that's being made in the book of Hebrews, that this life source that comes from our family head now, because as children of God, Christ is the prince. He is the source of a complete new family that has been transferred out of darkness and into light, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, into His kingdom. And He's the source from which it took place. He's the succession from which all who follow after, as His children, have to come through Him. and through His righteousness, through His provision that is made through His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But I want to, if you can just turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 3. There's a great passage there that we want to kind of look at and think about, right? For you to meditate and think on some of these things. The Apostle Paul basically is saying here that he desires to gain Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul had Christ, didn't he? But in chapter 3, he's actually has a prayer. He's saying, I'm setting aside all of these things. You know, he says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I studied under some of the greatest scholars. But I take no confidence in the flesh. I'm just summarizing chapter 3 here for you. And he says, although I myself have confidence in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law of Pharisee, as the zeal persecutor of the church. I mean, he had a long list of things, of righteous things that he could cling on to for his salvation. Okay, but he doesn't. He does not trust. He puts no confidence in the flesh or in the things of the flesh. But what he prays here is that he might gain Christ. Okay, so we're talking about a believer here, just as we are in the book of Hebrews. And this believer wants to gain Christ. He wants to lay hold of something that needs to be laid hold of. He's got to gain something here, okay? Now, he's a believer. He's already saved, already has eternal life, already transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but he wants to gain Christ. Do you want to gain Christ? Okay? Look, let's look at verse 9. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. There's our word, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And when we're talking about Melchizedek, our King Priest, Jesus, the cause of our salvation, the source of our salvation, what we're talking about is that life flows from Him. And Paul was not wanting to take confidence in the flesh, in his own strength, in his own accolades, in his own achievements, in any of those things to accomplish daily salvation, sanctification, and walk with God. You understand what I'm saying here? The Scripture teaches us that Christ was not only the initial source for us being born again, but Christ is our salvation on a daily basis. And what we need is to gain Him. Not through the works of the law, not through confidence in the flesh, but by faith in the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't that awesome? It's an amazing thing. But God has accomplished through His power, through His salvation, what you cannot accomplish in your life. Now, I want for you to take that and think of it in terms of those areas of your life that are not where God wants it to be, that are not up to the standard of Jesus Christ, because He wants to conform you into the image of His Son, right? We understand that He predestined us to be conformed into the image of His Son. And so he says that I may know Him. Look there, that we have faith in that righteousness which comes from God. He is the source of our righteousness. And notice in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed unto His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That, or not that I have already attained, but or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Okay, capture this. Melchizedek, the Lord, your King and High Priest, the Lord, our righteousness, has chosen you and laid hold of you in order that you might lay hold of that for which you were laid hold of. Does that confuse you? Okay. God laid hold of you and you were laid hold of that for which he laid hold of you for. Okay? Christ, his righteousness, his power, his source of life in our lives. That is the source of our eternal salvation. And he is how we know the fullness of that grace and salvation. And it's by faith that we can know those things. So confession of sin and by faith, the embracing of God's promise that he is faithful and just, not only forgive that sin, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so by faith, you can come to the Lord's table that way this morning. Regardless of the sin that you may have committed this week, the sin that might be in your life, and perhaps for some, there are areas, very serious areas of habitual sin, continuous sin. And God's Word teaches us this, that your righteousness is a source that comes from Christ outside of yourself, and that he has made provision in confession of sins to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and conform you to the image of his Son. So you can confess sin, be cleansed from unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ that we sang about this morning, and know by God's grace the cleansing from that unrighteousness and freedom from that unrighteousness which has been supplied in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to just take a moment now, a moment time of reflection for each one of us to confess any known sin and apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here with us this morning and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have open communion. So we want for you to come and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our Heavenly Father and with us around his table this morning. And that is if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. If you're not certain about your salvation or if you're an unbeliever, we encourage you to observe what's taking place this morning. You can ask people questions about it, but know that this is a covenant that is made between God and his people. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. So take a few moments' time and confess any known sin and ask God for the filling of his Holy Spirit in each one of our lives.